Harry's lips were cold and numb. So when I asked Creature if Sirius was there last night, the Malfoys, undoubtedly on Voldemort's instructions, had told him he must find a way of keeping Sirius out of the way once you had seen the vision of Sirius being tortured. Then, if you decided to check whether Sirius was at home or not, Creature would be able to pretend he was not. Creature injured Buckbeak the Hippogriff yesterday, and at the moment when you made your appearance in the fire, Sirius was upstairs trying to tend to him. There seemed to be very little air in Harry's lungs. His breathing was quick and shallow. "And Creature told you all this, and laughed," he croaked. "He did not wish to tell me," said Dumbledore, "but I am a sufficiently accomplished legilimens myself to know when I am being lied to, and I persuaded him to tell me the full story before I left for the Department of Mysteries." "And," whispered Harry, his hands curled in cold fists on his knees, "and Hermione kept telling us to be nice to him." "She was quite right, Harry," said Dumbledore. "I warned Sirius when we adopted 12 Grimald Place as our headquarters that Creature must be treated with kindness and respect. I also told him that Creature could be dangerous to us. I do not think that Sirius took me very seriously, or that he ever saw Creature as a being with feelings as acute as a human's. Don't you talk about Sirius like—" Harry's breath was constricted. He could not get the words out properly, but the rage that had subsided so briefly had flared in him again. He would not let Dumbledore criticize Sirius. "Creature's a lying fowl. He deserved—"
"Creature is what he has been made by wizards, Harry," said Dumbledore. "Yes, he is to be pitied. His existence has been as miserable as your friend Dobby's. He was forced to do Sirius's bidding because Sirius was the last of the family to which he was enslaved. But he felt no true loyalty to him, and whatever Creature's faults, it must be admitted that Sirius did nothing to make Creature's lot easier."
"Don't talk about Sirius like that," Harry yelled. He was on his feet again, furious, ready to fly at Dumbledore, who had plainly not understood Sirius at all. How brave he was, how much he had suffered. "What about Snape?" Harry spat. "You're not talking about him, are you? When I told him Voldemort had Sirius, he just sneered at me as usual."
"Harry, you know that Professor Snape had no choice but to pretend not to take you seriously in front of Dolores Umbridge," said Dumbledore steadily. "But as I have explained, he informed the Order as soon as possible about what you had said. It was he who deduced where you had gone when you did not return from the forest. It was he, too, who gave Professor Umbridge fake Veritas serum when she was attempting to force you to tell of Sirius's whereabouts."
Harry disregarded this. He felt a savage pleasure in blaming Snape. It seemed to be easing his own sense of dreadful guilt, and he wanted to hear Dumbledore agree with him.